could hear this sound. With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, which is locked down, and I'm joined by Rachel Brunson, our entertainment reporter in the capital city of Australia, Canberra, in the ACT, which is also locked down. Rach, how you doing?
Oh, you know, just locking down and it's hilarious. I can't believe it. It's so funny. I left Melbourne to avoid this.
I want to sing your jingle. Rachel. Oh, no. Hang on. I'll just play the real thing. Rachel Branston. Right. Okay. That's better than my singing. Rachel, I was talking to Ronan Seagrave, our correspondent in North America in Canada. Mm-hmm. And he asked after you, and he said, I believe Rachel's not living in Melbourne anymore. And I said, no, she's living in Canberra. And Ronan said, oh, God, the people aren't the people a bit dull in Canberra? And I said, I really don't think Rachel cares. She's quite happy with her own company.
I really am. And you know what? The people are fine. It's a regional area. So
they've been stereotyped, haven't they?
They really have. I mean, they're not dull at all. They're country folk. If anything, and country folk are some of the most colourful people you'll find. But I've just found everybody in Canberra to be really friendly and just pleasant and nice and, you know, not stressed and relaxed. And
after Melbourne.
You know, all that stuff. They're sort of like Adelaide people.
Ah, which is where you're from. And just to let our listeners know, Ronan is on in the second hour talking about all sorts of things, including the Canadian election, which no one really knew about except in Canada.
I know. Nobody knew about it. I find that odd, don't you?
I find that very strange indeed. Rach, we're going to talk about the 2021 Emmys. Did they have an Emmys in 2020?
They did have an Emmys in 2020, but it was Jimmy Kimmel hosted room full, and when I say full, I mean like 15 first responders, nurses, doctors, people like that. And he had the occasional presenter that was live. Jennifer Aniston did something live, and a couple of other people did something live, but all the Emmys were presented virtually, so they were all presented in people's lounge rooms or wherever. The people from Schitt's Creek, who are Canadian, booked a room and it looked like a dinner gala kind of a deal, but it was only 25 people and very spread apart and all masked.
Now that I recall, we'd actually discussed that last year, this time last year. But I like the idea that there was people in the caring industry were in the audience.
Yeah, it was a nice touch, and I think they did a lot of that this year too. Not as much because they did have people there this time.
Oh, all vaccinated, I assume.
All vaccinated people, but they still kept it pretty small. And it's also the Emmys, which doesn't traditionally come as a dinner situation, but it's usually held in the Kodak Theatre as the Academy Awards are.
Yes.
But in this case, they had a dinner like they do at the Golden Globes.
Yes, indeed. And the Emmys, of course, is all about television, isn't it?
That's right. The Emmys is all about television and not so much network television anymore, as it happens.
Well, go figure. Okay, let's get into what's going on at the Emmys in the year 2021.
I'll run you through a list. The Outstanding Drama Series was The Crown, as usual, and that was no big surprise. Outstanding Comedy Series was actually a great one for me, my very favourite show at the moment, called Ted Lasso. Have you heard about it?
No, I've never seen it. And I'm just looking at the list here myself. And Ted Lasso, what's it about? I mean, it did really well here.
It is so good. It's Jason Sudeikis, if you know his work. He was on Saturday Night Live for a long time, but he's also done a lot of movies. It's about a guy from somewhere in the Midwest in America who's a football coach, who he and his assistant coach get recruited to coach European football in England at a club called AFC Richmond. And the woman who owns the club has hired them specifically so that the club will die, because she inherited it from her ex-husband and she wants to kill her ex-husband's dreams. But the problem with this coach Ted Lasso fellow is that he seems like a dumb yokel but he's actually really switched on. And the big problem that she has with him is that everybody likes him.
Mm.
So now it's gone from...
So it's backfired.
In there, yeah, and that'll play itself out in the first season because you can't run that story for too long. And now they're getting into some more interesting stuff. But it's a very funny. It's very
funny. I must check it out.
It's for anybody who wants to watch it on the Rigidage, it's on Apple TV.
Hmm.
If you want to find it nefariously, I don't know how to do that, so you have to go and dig around.
What else have we got, Rach?
There's another really big deal show that won a lot, and that was The Mayor of Easttown. It's a kind of a mystery about an old lady and ladies of a certain age, and one's a detective, and there's a mystery to be solved. But it's one of those, what they're calling now, a limited or anthology series or movie. Mm-hmm. And this Kate Winslet is a Kate Winslet project, so that did quite well. Supporting actress went to Ted Lasso, The Crown got lead actor, The Crown got lead actress, Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso got lead actor for comedy, Tobias Menzies supporting actor for The Crown. It went on and on and on. And The Crown and Ted Lasso won most of the awards. The Queen's Gambit managed to pick up an award, which was pretty cool for them. One of the nicest ones that I saw, there's a show on, I don't know where you would find it on other than in Australia. I don't know what platform they use, but here it's on Stan.
Yes.
And it's a show called Hack.
Oh, yes.
And it's about this older lady who's a stand-up comedian. I'm loathe to say Joan Rivers style because she's younger, but it's the same old sass. Mm. And she hires a young girl to write for her, and it's their story. But the beautiful thing about it was it's Jean Smart. Now, Jean Smart, if you Google Jean Smart, it's one of those ladies that if you don't know her name, if you Google her, you'll go, oh, I know who that is.
Yeah,
she's been in everything, and she's fantastic in everything. And she made her acceptance speech, and she'd only lost her husband 6 months prior.
Oh God!
So it was a really lovely, you know, heartfelt speech, and it was really sweet, and it was really nice, and it was just I love that show. That was a great show. So
can I just ask about The Handmaid's Tale, because I know that's hugely successful, and how did it do?
It didn't do.
That's
it
what
was
I'm
nominated.
Thinking.
Yeah, it was nominated, but it didn't do. It was nominated for a few things, but it didn't do. And I find that really interesting. Although now that you got the Queen's Gambit coming through and Mayor of Easttown coming through, there's the old shows. Yeah, the shows that have been around for a little while are starting to sort of fade off.
Mm.
But that's what happens.
Indeed. I want to quickly talk to you about The Crown, as I call it.
The Crown.
Oh, boy, did I pig out on that. There's another season of The Crown coming up, I think, early next year. I'm excited.
I don't watch it. I've never watched it.
Oh, really? Why not?
I don't know. And you know what? Everybody I say that to is horrified because it's the exact show I should be watching.
Yes.
And I will watch it at some point. But see, somebody said, watch. They were horrified I didn't watch Downton Abbey, and I got through two episodes of Downton Abbey and just wanted to throw myself down the stairs. I just couldn't. And I thought, you know what, no.
Maybe you don't like British historical sort of stuff.
Well, I do, because, you know, all those Cate Blanchett, Elizabeth movies, they were great, and I find it all really interesting, and I really find the royals interesting. And now I know they're getting up to the modern royals too, so... in The Crown.
They are,
and
yes.
Yeah. So, I mean...
The Crown.
But I guess, I don't know, I just... Out of all the things that I watch, I've leaned really heavily towards the funny stuff and away from the drama. If I watch drama, I'm not watching it as a series. I'm watching it as a movie or something. I'm not sort of delving into big chunks of television at one time. I find it all too taxing.
So many people do that, though, don't they?
I mean, it's a thing now, isn't it? I'm terrible. I'm binge-watching everything. I found a show that was... because I was so obsessed with The Big Bang Theory back in the day.
Yes.
I found a show that was on at the same time, but I'd had heard of and had sort of thought to watch it, but never had watched it. It's a show called New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Zooey Deschanel is is the lead in that show, and she's just beautiful and lovely and talented, gorgeous and wonderful in everything she does. Another girl that if you Google her, you'll find her. But they have a show, and this girl moves in with these three guys into a loft apartment in LA, and you know, hilarity ensues. I'd never seen it, and I thought a few weeks ago, I thought, I'm really running out of stuff to watch during this lockdown.
Is that possible? Really?
It really is. And I was like, I'll give it a watch. And I'm obsessed. I've found my new favourite thing. But now I have to sort of stop and watch something else. And I don't know, I'll have to, because I'm not capable of watching just one episode of something. I have to watch 90.
It's all or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm all in.
Just want to ask about the talk shows. I know that you're a fan of CNN, but these, I'm particularly talking about the late night talk shows. Do you ever watch them at all?
I do. I like Kimmel. I like Fallon.
What about Stephen Colbert?
I love Stephen Colbert the most. Jon Stewart starts a new show on Apple TV.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's coming back. I'm so excited he'll be back, but he'll be on every other Thursday. And I also enjoy John Oliver.
Yes.
He won an Emmy. He won a couple, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because this is just to explain to our audience who may not know who he is, John Oliver is actually a British person. And he's hugely successful. I'm not sure what network he's on. It's obviously not CBS or NBC because,
I think it's Comedy Central. I think
That's right. He's very, very good.
Very good. Very funny. Very fast.
And very detailed.
Smart, yeah. Very detailed. Mm. And he won for the late night guys. He won out of all those guys. So that was really great. And he got heckled by Conan O'Brien. It was really funny.
I should do, yes. That was funny, actually.
It was. I was like, what's he doing?
They love doing this stuff. Anything else we should talk about?
I don't think so. I'm just waiting for the movies to reopen so that I can go and see, you know, something. I know the new Bond movie premiered last night, the last Daniel Craig Bond.
Yes.
It premiered in London, and they had a red carpet.
Are you a Bond fan?
No, I'm not.
No, me neither.
Again, never seen one. I can't say I'm not a fan because I've honestly never seen one, but I have no interest in seeing one. I also, for all those who are about to drop dead, given that I am a film buff, I've never seen The Godfather.
Is that? Let me ask you that, because I have my own reasons for that, but what are your reasons?
For The Godfather?
Mm.
It's just not a genre that appeals to me. I don't find that sort of film, that sort of story, it doesn't rattle my cage in any way. I appreciate that there are good actors and good performances in those movies, but it's not the sort of story I enjoy. It's not something that, you know, I've never been into those sort of mob movies or, you know, like with The Sopranos. Brilliant show, but not my cup of tea at all.
Didn't like all the violence. I mean, that sounds like I'm a wuss when I say that, but I just am not interested in people blowing each other up. I'm just not interested.
Me neither, and that's why I didn't like Scarface. There was way too much violence in that. And I think gratuitous violence. Sometimes violence has a purpose. If it serves the story, but I don't think people getting shot every 20 seconds serves any purpose. What it does is just eliminate your cast, and then you have to bring in new cast, which costs more money. So, you know.
I just want to mention The West Wing and ask you if you were a fan of The West Wing in the 90s.
So much.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yes. From episode one, I was obsessed with The West Wing, and have rewatched it several times because it is on streaming networks.
Yeah, because the reason I mention this is because for Best Pre-Recorded Variety Special, a West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote, which didn't actually get the Emmy. Hamilton got the Emmy. But, I never could, Ken O'Sullivan, who used to be on our show, was a huge fan, just like you, of
Obsessed.
Obsessed. Mm-hmm. And he kept on saying, you got to watch it. And I sort of tried to, but when there's like seven series and you have to start from series one, it just felt too big for me.
It does feel too big. And, but I do enjoy political drama. So, House of Lies, I thought was genius. All except for the nasty Kevin Spacey being in it the whole way through, but you can't shut your eyes when he's there. But, The West Wing was just cleverly written. It was brilliantly cast. The acting was superb. It was just so good. And it's Aaron Sorkin.
Of course.
the man who invented walking and talking.
Yes, that's brilliant.
When you see people doing that very fast walk and talk while they're walking through the office, he invented that. So, you know, it's too good.
He's just a genius, isn't he?
So, so good.
Do you think that there's a future for... actually, what I want to ask you before we go is do you think that the fact that we've got all these channels now, not channels, whatever they're called... and Netflix and Stan in Australia, mm-hmm. and Apple TV. I mean, it goes on. Do you think that's changed how, number one, it obviously has changed how people watch television because they're doing it on through television, but through computer, through mm-hmm. the internet. But has it changed their decision-making on stuff like the Emmys?
Oh, 100%. And also it's changed the way movies are made. It's changed the way everything's distributed. It's changed the way the studio system works. It's changed everything, but for the better. And the great thing is that if you can't get to the movies because you're in lockdown or whatever, you can rent them. They release them. You can rent them at stupid amounts of money, I might tell you. So right? I don't do it. But if you've got five people in your household, you can rent a movie like Disney's Mulan came out late last year, I think, and it was $30-something to rent it. But if you've got five people in your household, that's cheap.
Yeah.
If it's me, that's ridiculous. And I'm not getting popcorn.
Nah.
But I just think that it's what it's offering is a lot more content to be judged by these artists based and studio based and, you know, guild-based groups that decide who gets these awards.
Do you think that, you know, COVID aside, let's pretend COVID doesn't exist anymore. Do you think people will return to the cinemas?
Yes.
You do.
I was in the cinema the day we were locked down. I was in the cinema. I was in the cinema watching a movie called Free Game or something like that. It was a Ryan Reynolds movie. It was good. And we walked into the movies and life was normal. And we came out and there was a real vibe at the Westfield where I was. And then I saw a lady with a trolley stacked to the rafters with toilet paper. And I went, okay.
Yep, this is reality. I've just returned to reality.
So that was my day. And you know, but I mean, I don't know. We are reopening on October 15th, but it's going to be quite limited. I think there's going to be heavy mask mandates still, and still got corona around. So, but it's the vaccination numbers they care about.
Okay, Rach, it's always good to talk to you. Sorry, it's been so short. I can't talk. Look, thank you for joining me, and we'll let's hope there's more entertainment to talk about in the near future.
Look, I'll just keep watching things and then reviewing them, and we can call that entertainment.
Yeah, that's entertainment. Oh, I didn't. Did I just make it? Oh, no, I think someone else said that sometime. Rachel Brunston, thank you for joining me on Bondi Tunes.
You're welcome.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
This is Bondi Tunes International, the week that was.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm joined by Adam Devlin, who is our Australian political correspondent, and he's stuck in Melbourne. We're also joined by Melissa Greamer, who is also our Melbourne correspondent, but she's not stuck in Melbourne. Welcome to you both.
Howdy.
Hi.
There really is only two things, isn't there? You're either stuck somewhere or you're not stuck somewhere. Melissa, just for our listeners, where are you at the moment?
I am currently in downtown Darwin, so I should be saying g'day.
Ah, you're back in Darwin again.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I saw a picture of your swimming pool outside your apartment or your hotel. Mm. So jealous. Adam, are you jealous?
Shut up.
Okay, that says it all. Listen, I want to tell you guys a little story and our listeners. I've only got one channel working in my headphones, and this is the reason why. My cat ate the cord off my headphones and knocked my rather expensive microphone to the ground. It still works, but only one channel works in my headphones. This cat is a male cat, but he can be a real bitch.
It's sounding a bit like the dog ate my homework to me.
Well, the thing is, my partner, I hate that term, partner, my girlfriend was out. And, Adam, do you know what out means?
Yes.
You remember?
I didn't. I have long, faint, distant memories of being out and about.
How are things in Melbourne?
Well, we had a good weekend. We actually had a picnic on the weekend. Went to the Botanic Gardens and had a picnic. I know, I felt very naughty.
It's the guilt complex, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh. And then there were police everywhere. Mm. And every time I'd turn around, I'd see a group of police either driving by or walking by. And I don't know what it is, but every time I see police during this, I feel incredibly guilty and about like I'm going to be fined any second now.
It's terrible.
Are they checking people to see if they've been vaccinated if you're on a picnic? I'm very, very curious.
No. They didn't come and speak to us at all, they didn't interrupt us at all, but there was certainly a lot of them around, and the ones that were walking around, they were just keeping an eye on things to make sure. I think they were really looking for protesters.
Sorry, Adam, are you still in St Kilda, the suburb of Melbourne?
Yes, I am.
Right, I think there were some kind of violent protests there at the weekend, am I right?
Well, there were certainly protests. I don't know much about them. I didn't see them. But no, there was on Saturday, there was a heavy police presence here in the suburb. There were helicopters, several helicopters in the sky all day. Lots of police cars going by. We saw, what's it called, strategic response units driving around. So there was certainly a lot of attention on St Kilda here for on the weekend.
Yes. Okay, now we're going to talk about vaccinations and that kind of thing, because I know you both want to talk about that. I just want to mention that the Australian Prime Minister has not made his mind up as to whether he's going to attend the COP26, is what it's called, the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Glasgow in Scotland. It seems rather strange to me that he can't make his mind up about this.
Well, he just doesn't know yet. See, here's the thing. The government is still, three terms in, torn right down the middle between whether you do something about climate change or whether you do nothing about climate change. Mm. And it's all because of the hold that the fossil fuel industry has over our federal government.
Mm.
And so basically what he's doing, he's trying at the moment to get, he wants to go to this conference and he wants to be able to say that Australia is signing up to net zero carbon by 2050.
He's got a lot of people in his ranks who do not want this to happen, isn't that right?
Absolutely. In fact, the last two prime ministers of this country, well, we've now lost three prime ministers in this country who have tried to do something about this. He could very well be the next one to go. There's been several key members of the National Party have come out over the weekend and said they just simply will not sign up to net zero carbon by 2050. So here's the thing. If he can get that across, if he can get his party, the coalition government, to sign up and agree to support net zero by 2050, he will go to this conference.
That's not going to happen, is it?
And he will stand there and he will say, Australia's doing its bit. Look, aren't we fantastic? Pat us on the back. Give us some good headlines, and then he'll come back and call a snap election.
And the government, the government have said that they're going to send somebody.
They'll send someone, absolutely. Australia will go to this thing. It's just whether it'll be the Prime Minister or whether it will be the Environment Minister or it'll be some high school intern who happens to be in the office on the day that the flights are due.
You said that so subtly.
But if he can't get that across the line, if he can't get net zero 50 by 2050 across both his party and the National Party, if he can't get both those sides to agree to that, there's no way you'll get him to this conference, and we won't have an election until next year.
Yep, interesting. And Melissa, do you think people actually care about this conference in Australia?
I don't know, because I haven't been following any news or been in the bush, so I don't really have a comment
lucky
on it.
You.
I think he should go, but he won't, I doubt.
I can't see him getting the National Party to sign on to net zero carbon by 2050, so there's no way he will go. If he can't announce that, there's no way he will go to that conference. And I just can't see how he's going to get that across the National Party. So I'll be stunned if he turns up there.
Okay. Melissa, what have you been up to? I know that you went, you're in Darwin now, but you went where for a while?
I went to Kakadu National Park. So Dabaru and Colinda. So, crocodiles, 20,000-year-old Aboriginal rock paintings, water holes, swimming holes, native birds. It's been very exciting. And you would have hated it, Henry, because I was in a caravan with no air conditioning and it was 30 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning and 38 in the middle of the day.
38. Now, we do know that Darwin, I always say you don't need a weather person on TV in Darwin because it's usually either between 30 and 32 degrees. And the only difference is that they've got a wet season and a dry season. But 38 is pretty tough. I hope you got drunk. Oh, I shouldn't say that. You're supposed to. Sorry,
Can
you're
I
supposed
tell
to drink
you?
Water.
No. No. I'm going to tell you, right? So the AFL Grand Final was on Saturday.
Yes, Adam was most excited about that.
I don't really support football, but I went to the pub and I went to the Darwin Hotel and drank quite a few beers and then followed it up with quite a few vodkas and got home at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock bedtime. Mm. And I just wanted to sleep it off. But at 7 o'clock, the sun was baking the roof of the caravan.
Oh.
And I had to get up and I was dirty over that because you just can't sleep in that heat.
No.
No.
You know, in a tin can, yeah, you know,
Adam,
without a fan.
Adam, you're like me. This would have been a nightmare for both of us, wouldn't it?
Oh, I wouldn't cope. I would just melt. I would dissolve.
Or fly out.
It'd be like the Wicked Witch getting wet with water.
We went to a burger chain that won't be named to feed our hangovers, and I'm telling you, I was there at 9:30 and the breakfast menu was still on the table, and I'm like, this is unheard of. Who is up at 9:30 after a massive night out? So we went to our burger chain, had our respite, had our food, went back to the caravan park, and then we went and sat in the recreation room and watched TV. And, of course, because it was a caravan park, there were kids coming in and out yelling and screaming. And the more you ask them to be quiet, the more noise they made. And this kid's like, you're not the boss of me. I said, no, I'm not the boss of you, but I can ask you to keep the voice down. Oh,
what about
and
their
then
parents?
We went to the cinema. Oh, silly, wow, what do they care?
Silly you trying to reason with a child.
I think the parents. I think the parents are worse than the children. You know,
honestly, the kid was making noise intentionally when I asked, when I told him, and he was doing it for laughs from his mates. And then he went out and came back in, and I said, "You, I know what you're up to. Stop being a smartass, or I'll find your parents and I'll have a chat to them."
Quickly. If his parents, or it was a he, if his parents were there, they would have probably shouted at you.
Most likely. And if the kid's a bit of a smart ass, you've got to think that he's got to come from somewhere, right?
Mm.
Yep.
So, yeah. But I was just like, oh, it's 38 degrees. I can't handle this.
You went to the cinema?
Sorry?
You went to the cinema?
Oh, I went to the cinema at night, yes.
Oh.
So we went out to dinner and then, went to the cinema to just get out of the heat and sit in some air conditioning there.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
That's a good question. I don't know what it was called. Free Fall, or I don't know. It was a very, very complicated movie about drug use. And you know when movies just feel complicated for the sake of being complicated, like Memento?
Yeah. Action movies, not for me.
So anyway.
Well, there's cinema here. Up in Bondi Junction, there's a massive cinema complex up there, and it hasn't been open for a year. And Adam, you're just give our listeners an idea of what the situation is in Melbourne in terms of lockdown. How locked down are you at this point?
Well, officially, we're very locked down. You're only allowed out of the house for an hour a day. You're only allowed. I think it's 10K you're allowed to go at the moment from your home. You're only allowed to shop one at a time. So if you've got two people living in the house like I do, you can't go shopping together.
It's the usual stuff.
The usual stuff.
And this is partly why I went to the cinema, Adam, because I haven't been to the cinema for 2 years, right? So I thought I better go while I have the chance.
Absolutely.
I saw the movie Flashback, just to let you know. Sorry to interrupt. Right.
That's okay. But, you know, it's what amazes me is I've just recently moved from a northern suburb, Reservoir, to a beachside suburb of St Kilda. Now, it just surprises me the different way that the two suburbs are responding to these lockdowns. Like in Reservoir, you know, I go for a walk every day. I go for like an hour's walk every day. And in Reservoir, you hardly see anyone. The roads are dead. There's no one on the street. You might pass one or two people also going for a walk, but that's it. Mm. No one's out socializing. Mm. I go for a walk here, and whether you're going for a walk around the lake or a walk along the beach or walk down the street, down the main shopping strip, it's full of people.
Yes, it's just like Bondi.
Yeah. And what they're doing, it's so bizarre. And I don't understand why the police don't stop this, because the police are walking around amongst it all. But they've got, so there's pubs down here, cafes and things.
cafes and things, I love it.
Yeah.
Things like that, things that you remember fondly.
The holes in the wall that you give them money and they get... They give you money, you give them money and they give you goods.
It's amazing, some form of bartering.
They're buying beers and wines and then they're sitting and standing around and congregating in the street drinking. So they're obviously groups of friends who aren't living together, who are meeting at the on the main street of Ackland Street here in St Kilda. They're going to one of these holes in the wall that people are selling booze from. And Ackland Street is just full of all these groups of people hanging around together. And hardly a face mask to be seen.
My friend's been doing that since last year. She lives in Elwood. Yeah. And, Elstonwick. No, Elwood. She lives by the beach. The whole of last year when I was locked up by myself, she was getting takeaways and sitting on the beach with her friends, you know. And there's definitely suburban discrimination going on. And that was the case in Sydney, right? And they're not doing anything in Bondi. Did you hear about the Muslim funeral and what happened?
No.
There was a Muslim funeral held in one of the western suburbs, LGAs, and people went to the funeral in their cars, and they sat in their cars and attended the funeral from their cars, which I thought was a very clever way of going to a funeral and social distancing.
Yes.
But the cops came and fined everyone.
What?
Now, how is that not allowed when people can go to Bondi Beach and sit on the beach and sunbathe?
And I just want to mention that last Friday was a very hot day, unusually hot for early spring here in Sydney, and Bondi Beach was packed and there were cops there, but they didn't arrest anyone, and there were people in crowds of people just hanging around. And the people in the western suburbs of Sydney who are severely locked down, we're really annoyed about this, and rightfully so, I would have thought.
Absolutely. I think it's outrageous to think that just because of where you are, you are treated more leniently than others in the city. Like, I just don't understand how, you know, ages ago we did a picnic in Reservoir, and twice we had police come up to us just to make sure that we were the one household, rada. And here...
Did you have to show your licence or something, Adam?
No, they didn't ask us for ID or anything, but they did say, you know, are you all in the one household? And we're like, yes, we are. And, you know, it's within our 1 hour, only here for the hour. And they were like, okay, that's fine. But here, down in St Kilda, you can pretty much have a street party.
This is Bondi Dunes International, the week that was...
Now, if you've just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. I have our correspondents Adam Devlin in Melbourne and Melissa Grima up in Darwin in the Northern Territory. I want to talk, by the way, you know, you mentioned different parts of Sydney and different parts of Melbourne. They're called LGAs, local government areas. And this is what's really causing the problem, is because even on one side of a street, it might be a different local government area, so they can all open their shops. On the other side of the street, they're all... It just seems stupendous to me.
Well, that did happen in Newtown in Sydney, where one of King Street was closed and the other side of King Street was open. I mean, where's the logic?
I don't know. Now, I want to talk about vaccinations because, of course, it's a very contentious issue. And I would like to start off by saying that I have been not fully vaccinated, but I've had one jab. And the reason... I'm not anti vaccine, the reason I did it is because my partner, I hate that term, my girlfriend, works with disability in a disability house, and I just felt I should do this for her sake, you know, just to alleviate her worries about it. But Melissa, what do you think about this? Because I have fun calling the unvaccinated the great unwashed. What are your thoughts, Melissa?
On the vaccine in general, or
just on you know the attitude about vaccines, because it is understood that in the state of New South Wales, if you are unvaccinated, you will have your freedoms taken away much longer than those who are fully vaccinated.
Look, you know, I'm getting really sick of the whole vaccination conversation. Yes. I've overheard it in Townsville and Port Douglas and speaking about it in Darwin at people at caravan sites and people that you work with. I'm really fed up with the bullying and the propaganda around the vaccine. I understand how important it is for people to have the vaccine. What I don't understand is why it's anyone's business whether you do or don't. If you've had the vaccine and you believe that it's going to, work in the way that they've told you it's going to work, then why do you care so much whether someone has had it or not?
Mm.
You know, and I don't like people constantly asking me if I've had it or if I haven't. Mm. And I don't like the pressure from friends, let alone the media.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's very work.
Mm. But I'm being pressured by my work colleagues, one, and my friends, the other. And I was quite upset the other day because a friend of mine said, she started lecturing me and she's like, "What about my kids? Think about my kids. Are your kids more important than what I want to do for my own health?"
Yes.
They're her kids, not yours. Let her concern herself with her children.
Yes. I mean, I've got friends that, I had a friend offer me to come stay with her, but then she was on the provision that I'd been vaccinated. Well, what's this madness?
Yes. Interesting, isn't it? You know, when people ask me if I've been vaccinated, I tell them that I don't talk about my personal health to anyone else. I've just spoken to nearly a million people and said, right, I tell them. But it was my choice, you know, to say that. Adam.
Yeah, I'm fully vaxxed. I was hesitant to start with. I didn't want to get the AstraZeneca vaccine. I sort of got a bit caught up in the media here in Australia with their destruction of that vaccine's reputation. I just didn't feel safe having the AstraZeneca one. And so as soon as they made the Pfizer one available to me, I understand in this current situation, I'm trying to move interstate.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Just explain, Adam, why you're moving interstate.
Well, because of border lockdowns and such, we've got family. We don't have family here in Victoria, but we do have family in Queensland. And so we just want to be closer to our family in case something goes wrong and we need family or our family needs us. We want to be able to get to them. And these lockdowns are going to go on, you know, for at least another 12 to 18 months. We're going to have these lockdowns, I reckon, in various places around the country. So we just decided that it was probably best if we moved to Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold our house and we bought a place in Brisbane, mm-hmm. and we were packing up and ready to go. And then all the borders closed and now we're sort of stuck in temporary accommodation in Melbourne waiting for the border to open so we can move to Brisbane.
Can I just say something?
Brisbane
from Sydney and she was allowed in.
To Queensland?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we can't.
You know what? My friend backdated a rental agreement for her to get in. I should say that on the radio.
We've looked at everything. Like we've got, you know, we've bought property there to move to, and we've got all of that. You know, our official residence is now in Queensland, is now in Brisbane.
So how are you going to deal with this, Adam? Can you see how you're going to get to your new house in Brisbane? You talked about driving at one stage.
One of the reasons I got the vaccine was because I just know that at some point they're going to open the borders and they're going to say, but it's only to the people who are fully vaccinated.
Mm.
I fully expect that to happen. So that's why one of the reasons why I got the vaccine. We won't be able to drive to Queensland. That's fairly apparent to us. So what we're going to have to do is put our car on a train and train that to Brisbane, and we'll have to fly into Brisbane. But we don't know when. And this is so crazy. We've been looking at. We've even said, you know, we're prepared to do hotel quarantine if we have to. Mm. And so we thought, oh well, we'll just have a look at that and see what's involved in that. It is so complicated. We've just been reading so many stories from people who are trying to do the hotel quarantine, trying to get into Queensland. People who are saying that you know, you've got to apply first and tell them what date you want to travel to Queensland. And all over their website, it's like, do not book flights until you hear from us. So,
really?
So you apply, and this is, I've read so many people say this, that they've applied and the date has come and gone and they've not heard from them. Or they'll ring, and if you don't answer the phone, your application's thrown out and you've got to start again. So people are like going to the shower with their phone because they don't want to miss the call. Other people have been getting the phone call saying, okay, you wanted to fly next Tuesday, so that's been approved, you need to be here next Tuesday. And then they go and so that you can now go and find a flight for that, and then there are no flights available. So then they miss that, and there's no, oh, we'll do the next one. No, you've got to start the whole thing again. And, you know, we've decided that if we do hotel quarantine, we'll probably do it separately because I'm working, my partner's not working.
That's another thing. You know, your partner's not working. He has to go to Brisbane to get a job.
Yes.
So this is wasted money because of the situation.
Absolutely. The longer we sit here, the less savings we have.
Okay.
You know, it's just as simple as that. But, you know, so, but if we do it individually, there's no guarantee that we'll even end up in the same hotel. I could end up in Cairns and Ian could end up on the Gold Coast.
That's crazy. Look, I just want to get Melissa back in here. Melissa, you're in Darwin in the Northern Territory. What does your future hold as far as you're concerned at the moment? What do you know about your future, your immediate future?
I have booked a flight back to Melbourne for Sunday.
Oh. Dun, dun,
dun. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that going to happen?
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. Do I want it to happen is another question all
yes.
the time.
You're having fun up there.
Yeah. But, you know, at the moment, I'm just sick of spending money. Not sick of spending money, but, yes, sick of spending money. So, look, I went away for 2 weeks, and I've been away in total. When I go home, it'll be 11. So I've had a great run, and I could continue to stay away longer, but I'm just spending money on accommodation now.
Yeah, you are working virtually, yeah?
Yes. I've had weeks off in between, but, yes. So I think I've had 4 weeks leave, and then I've worked the rest of the weeks.
Right.
So I've played it really well.
Okay, now it's time to have the Christmas conversation. Sorry about the motorbike outside. The Christmas conversation that we have every year. Will we all be able to see each other by Christmas?
I doubt it.
I think it's going to be very difficult for the states to not open the borders for Christmas. I just think there's going to be so much pressure put on them, especially if we get up to around the 80%+ double vaccination rate across the country. You know, all the governments have been saying, you know, we've got to get to 80% and then we can open up. If we get to 80% before Christmas and they don't open up, I just think that that's going to cause so much stress.
Damn right. It's going to be
and
riots.
Anger and riot. Like, people are just going to be furious. If they can't get to be with family for Christmas when we've done everything they've told us should do for that to happen, I just think it's politically impossible for them not to open up the borders. If we get to that 80 or above vaccination rate.
Which it sounds like.
Which we appear to be doing. Like that, you know, we should be there by sort of late November, early December. And so if we get to that point and they don't open the borders, I just think that people will literally take to the streets because, you know, that's the deal that the government has said to us. They said, you go through these lockdowns until we get to 80% and then we can open up. If we get to 80% and they don't open up, it's going to be mayhem. And rightly so.
What do you guys think of this thing called herd immunity? Because, you know, we keep getting stories out of Europe about, you know, different countries, particularly Sweden, I think, where they're just going, oh, what the hell? You know, open everything up and we'll just deal with it. If you get COVID, you get COVID. If you don't, you don't. But one way or the other, we got to keep business going. Melissa, thoughts on that?
Look, I just don't see how we can stay in lockdown. Like the mental health, like, you know, last week I've spoken to at least five people who are, or six actually, one in New South Wales, that are seeking professional help to speak to people.
That's interesting. I that's the next thing I was, we've got to go soon, but the next thing I wanted to talk about was mental health, because this is a huge issue. You've got Beyond Blue, which is an Australian helpline, being bombarded by people. The stress levels are through the roof, aren't they?
Absolutely. Oh. Lifeline is also inundated with calls. It's just, it's, this is going to have long-term sustained mental impact on a lot of Australians.
One of my closest friends went and spoke to someone, a professional, and she's just been diagnosed with clinical depression.
And what was she, before the pandemic, was she okay? Like,
well, I think she was. I've noticed her. I've noticed a big change in her as we've gone through this. And, like, you know, when I was in New Zealand, she called me in absolute hysterics because she just needed to talk to someone. And, you know, normally you don't have to call someone when they're on a holiday. And I've been checking in on her a lot. And when she said that, I said, I'm not surprised. And I wasn't surprised, you know. And then I spoke to another girl today. And she's seeing someone, you know. It's horrible. And my friends, they're not suicidal. They just feel terrible.
Yeah, and look, I can relate to that. COVID has put me back on antidepressants, and it's put me back into seeing a psychologist. So I fully understand the impact that this is having on people. It's devastating.
Adam, we've talked, in Australia, you're not allowed to report suicide deaths or death by suicide, which you can everywhere else in the world. But, there has been a sharp increase in suicides in Australia, and you don't hear about that. Yeah. You have to go to Fifth Estate newspapers, if you know what I mean. These are people who actually tell the truth, to actually find this information, because the networks, the news networks and the newspapers are not allowed to, well, they're not allowed to talk about specific suicides. But it is happening, you know.
Well, you know, there's been an increase in all of the horrible things about society during this pandemic here in Australia. There's been an increase in divorce. There's been an increase in domestic abuse. There's been an increase in child abuse. There's been an increase in suicide.
Increase in alcohol use as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And drug use as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand all of that. I get it. You know, it's, you know, where Melbourne is now, I'm not sure if it's today or, but certainly this week, that we're going to click over to being the most locked down city in the world.
In the world, during, yes.
During this
pandemic. 235 days or something?
It's 200 and odd days, yes. It's just, you know, and that has an impact, like, across the whole of society. It can't not have an impact. So, you know, it doesn't, I would be stunned if we weren't seeing these increases.
Daniel Andrews is the Premier of Victoria. He's getting a lot of flack, isn't he? Because he's locking down Melbourne more than the Premier of New South Wales is locking down New South Wales. And he's, what do you think? Like, is he doing the right thing in your, you both live in Melbourne. Is he doing the right thing?
Look, I think he is. He's got a very tough battle that he's fighting, because the right-wing media, which is the mainstream media in this country owned by Rupert Murdoch, have just decided that whatever Dan Andrews does is going to be wrong, and whatever Gladys Berejiklian in Sydney does is going to be correct. So we have the ridiculous situation where New South Wales, during this outbreak, has had more cases, more deaths, more hospitalizations than we have in Victoria, yet she's constantly in the press being held up as doing a fabulous job, and Dan Andrews is constantly being berated for doing an awful job.
Yeah, we need to just explain that Daniel Andrews, the state of Victoria is a Labour state, whereas yeah. the state of New South Wales is a liberal, right-wing liberal state. So this is why we're getting this right-wing media reporting how great a job Gladys is doing and how bad a job, you know, Danny's doing.
And so Dan Andrews, he's not going to win. He could never win this battle. If he had have relieved the lockdowns sooner and cases had have spiked, which they would have, then he would be condemned because he allowed these people to catch the disease. And every death would be a headline saying, you know, Dan Andrews' death count rises.
You can't win, can you? You just can't.
So he
win.
Didn't do that. He decided to go hard with the lockdown, and so now he's being condemned for that. So yeah, he really can't win in the media. So, but thankfully, I'm pleased to say that the recent opinion poll that was done showed that his support is holding.
That's
good. Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So he's still. I think it was 63% in the last opinion poll.
Wow, that really is quite amazing, given that people are feeling so locked down. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the people are at least, I think, behind him mostly, whereas it's the establishment and the media that are against him. But thankfully the people aren't buying into that, I don't think, yet. I don't know how long that can hold out. But, you know, I just find it amazing. Like, I look at the Daily Telegraph and I look at the Herald Sun, which are the two tabloid newspapers in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yes.
I look at their headlines daily, and it's just outrageous. They're both owned by Murdoch. They're both News Corp publications. New South Wales is, as I said, they're having many more cases, many more deaths, many more hospitalizations than we are in Victoria. But if you looked at the headlines, you would say, wow, New South Wales is on top of this, and they're doing a great job. But Victoria's out of control.
It's important to note that the populations are very similar, about 5 million. I think Melbourne is going to actually supersede Sydney as the biggest city, which they're going to be delighted about. We've got to go soon. Melissa, you're flying to Melbourne in a couple of days.
Monday, yes.
So what do you think? Like, you're going back to your flat, and Adam has outlined the lockdown situation in Melbourne. What's your mindset about this? After having such a wonderful time in New Zealand and Queensland and the Northern Territory, you're going back to your small flat in Melbourne. How do you feel about that?
Look, the flat I can kind of handle. What's going to be difficult for me is the wearing of masks outdoors and everywhere you go. I haven't worn a face mask since the only time I've worn a face mask is on a flight.
Yeah.
Right. So I haven't been wearing masks. Haven't worn masks on transport. So that's one thing I'm going to miss, and not having freedoms. The vaccination passport scares me because they don't have it in Queensland or the Northern Territory. So I feel like, you know, we're being punished for being in Melbourne and New South Wales with this stuff. So they're concerning me.
Well, they haven't brought the passport in here yet.
I know, but
it's
you know,
it's
coming.
It's going to happen.
I'm also concerned about whether my friends are going to want to hang out with me, given that I haven't been vaccinated yet.
Gosh.
You know, and that bothers me. And lockdown is isolating enough without that on top of it. You know, I've already had friends yelling at me, and quite frankly, I don't want to go home to that. So. The only thing I want to do, the only positive I have in going home is that I want to, like, start eating healthy because I'm eating takeaway every day, and get off the beers because I'm not in a tropical climate. So, you know, I'd like to go home and go on a diet and detox, but that's my main
that's
motivation
about it.
For going home
okay.
and saving money.
And saving money, yes. Okay, we've got to go. Adam Devlin in Melbourne, Melissa Greimer up in the Northern Territory in Darwin. Thank you both for joining me here.
Been a pleasure.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.